So, all right, with all that aside, what aspect of this conflict should we get into first, John?
Well, we should probably, boy, there's so much that's like major news. We should probably say that that three, count them, three American F-15s were shot down in friendly fire incidents, shot down by the Kuwaiti military. Oops. I guess
$100
there's no
million
military
worth of
coordination.
plane. We don't have
Yep.
money for school. We don't have any money for schools or for health care or for homeless people or for poor people or for, as Robbie would say, for guarding the border. We got no money for that shit, but we, well, I guess we do have money for the border, but we don't have money for, but we're, $100 million plus six pilots who all could have died.
That's
They
right.
all safely ejected, fortunately. How did
That's
this
right.
happen, John? How, I mean, I understand how one could happen. I mean, these jets were based in Kuwait, right?
Based in Kuwait, shot down by the Kuwaitis.
I mean, I'm beginning to see
And
a constant in this administration where the left hand doesn't talk to what the right hand is doing. It's analogous to what's been happening in Texas, where the FAA isn't notified about the Defense Department, and they don't talk to the Border Patrol,
That's
and they
right.
all got drones up and lasers, and they're shooting at this and that, and nobody knows what's happening. The FAA wasn't talking to the military when a year ago when that helicopter ran into that American Airlines
That's
passenger
right.
jet. Nobody's talking to each other.
Man, there's so much to go over. So friendly fire shot down three of our planes in Kuwait, all F-15s. Another American soldier was killed. They won't say where, they won't say how. That's the fourth one that's been killed in the last 24 hours. Terrorist attack in Austin, Texas. In fact, in the bar that my buddy Steve and I hung out in last time I was in Austin, Texas, the guy was a Senegalese immigrant. He had a he was wearing a hoodie that says "Property of Allah," and underneath he had wrapped his torso in an Iranian flag. He was mentally ill, they're saying, but still,
Quran in his car when they searched
yes,
it.
Quran in his car. The Pakistanis have been bombing Bagram Air Base and the city of Kabul. So that's spinning out of control. The Israelis attacked southern Lebanon. The Iranians attacked Israel and killed nine people in a bunker. And this morning, Pete Hegseth refused to say that the United States would not send ground troops. Like,
Donald
how much worse does it get?
Trump warned yesterday on Truth Social. I guess he still doesn't think that the American people deserve an Oval Office address to the nation, or maybe he's afraid to go to the Oval Office. But anyway, he said we should gird for a sustained, costly war. That's something we were told by J.D. Vance days ago. No way,
Yes.
no how is going to happen. This is a quote from the president. Sadly, there will likely be more U.S. deaths before it ends. America will avenge their deaths and deliver the most
Yeah.
punishing blow to the terrorists
Tell that to
who
the
have waged
families.
war against basically civilization. I mean, also, John, the casus belli sort of post facto that we're seeing are so reminiscent of 2002, 2003. Like, they were going to develop nuclear weapons. We can't allow that to happen. They were going to nuke the United States. I mean, this is the same old shit from 23 years ago.
That's right.
We know it was all lies then. Actually, the American people in this case already know it's lies. It took them a while to figure it out in 2003 when WMDs didn't turn up for first 6 months, then a year, then 2 years.
Yeah.
We already know this in advance that there's no CIA or other intel assessment that says that any of this stuff that the president is saying is true. Not to mention he's not exactly Mr. Credibility in general.
No.
So, yeah, the Hezbollah, by the way, appears to have formally joined the war against Israel.
Yes.
I wonder, John, that let's talk about that. Hezbollah was deemed down and out a year ago after the pager attacks. And now they don't seem so down and out. What interests me is it possible that the pager attack kind of sent the message to the leadership, the surviving leadership, like we should have probably gotten involved and helped by and helped Hamas in Gaza
From the
because
beginning.
they're coming for us no matter what. If we sit out, it doesn't matter. The Israelis come for us either way.
I think that's terrific analysis. Yeah. I think the answer is yes. Something that we probably wouldn't have concluded a year ago. Yeah, they probably are kicking themselves. Listen, they're going to fight to the death anyway. Mm-hmm. You might as well fight to the death from the beginning than right. just waiting a year or two or five and then jumping in.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, right, this is where solidarity, a true axis of resistance, which didn't materialize except with the Houthis, it seems to pay off, right, in general, when you have a bully in the neighborhood. Yeah. So Israel bombed Beirut, not the first time they've done that sort of thing. John, I wanted to ask you about Keir Starmer. Europe is sitting this out. Notably, they're not interested in helping us. I mean, I'm sure they're sharing intel, right? But Keir Starmer said he was not going to allow the U.S. to use bases in the U.K. Now he says, okay, actually you can. But otherwise, the rest of Europe is kind of like, you didn't bring us in on this. We don't know anything about it. We don't approve of it. We don't think it's a good idea. You're on your own here.
That's right.
Why did Keir Starmer change his mind?
Because he's weak. He's a neocon, and he does as he's told. This is exactly what George Galloway warned us about a week ago. I had George on my show, and he was saying that the likelihood was that Keir Starmer would be out of a job sooner rather than later because he's weak, he doesn't stand for anything, and he's a neoliberal, just like every other mainstream politician in the United States or in the United Kingdom. That's really what it comes down to.
Disappointing. I mean, I guess you could say the special relationship and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the special relationship. Exactly. What a joke.
So, and then why do you think the administration underestimated the Iranians? I mean, people, highly placed officials have told the New York Times that. We just thought that they weren't, we thought they were degraded. We thought
No, it's because the American intelligence community has only just recently started watching Iran. So they haven't had enough time to get up to speed and to do proper analysis on Iran. No, wait a minute. No, we've been watching them since the 1970s. Never mind.
Only 47 years. I mean, we've got to
talk about bad analysis.
John, but the CIA was unfairly blamed for faulty intel in the run-up to the war against Iraq. That was a lie by the administration. They were given correct intel. They just chose to spin it and ignore it, right? You were there. That's probably what happened here too, isn't it?
Most likely. I have to tell you that I was surprised by a New York Times article yesterday saying that it was the CIA that collected the locational data on the Iranian leadership and passed that data to the Israelis, and the Israelis used it to take out the leadership. It was the opposite.
Why would they have done it that way? Why?
That's a mystery to me, Ted, because it's the Israelis that have Iran infiltrated from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. It's the Israelis that have recruited every other Afghan refugee to just stand on a street corner and note down when the general leaves his apartment and when the general returns to his apartment so they know when and where to kill him. But how is it that the Israelis didn't have the information and the CIA did? I have no idea.
And also, why, let's just say, okay, so the Americans have the targeting intel. They've been watching the Ayatollah for days. They're confident that he's probably in there. And they know what time he's going to be in there. They followed his routine.
Yeah.
Why not just send the U.S. Air Force to do the job?
Well, I mean, ostensibly it would be because you don't want unnecessary civilian casualties. But I'm gonna yell at the late Ayatollah Khamenei right now. Listen, I understand that you wanted to drink the nectar of martyrdom, which is what his death announcement said, that he had drunk of the nectar of martyrdom. But if you remain in your office after having said, I'm not going to a bunker because the Iranian people don't have bunkers and I will face the same threats that the Iranian people are facing, why in God's name would you allow your daughter, son-in-law, and granddaughter or grandson, whatever it was, to be in the freaking office with you? Why wouldn't you send them into hiding? And now your granddaughter's dead. I saw a picture of her body yesterday that's been circulating in the Iranian media. Why would you do something? Go ahead and drink the nectar of martyrdom if you want. But why subject your family to that? And I have to say, too, the CIA and the Iranians, I'm sorry, the CIA and the Israelis are absolutely freaking brutal by going so far as to take out the former presidents of Iran.
President Ahmadinejad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because you don't want somebody with experience in managing the country to come back and sort of take over.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's like you said, John, 92 million people. They're not going to have any trouble finding people to, you know, who are intelligent, educated, and qualified and experienced to run the country. I mean,
exactly right.
Ridiculous. It's like the same thing happened here.
And Ted, what do you think of the idea that this is going to be a longer term war?
That well, you and I, you and I called it, you know, when this started on Saturday and Sunday, when we had our special shows. And by the way, thank you everyone for watching those. We're now, by the way, at 22,000 subscribers on YouTube. And so thank you for your support for the show. I think, look, I think we were, you know, we've been wrong about some things, but we were totally, I think we're right here. I don't want to be right. I think the Iranians are going to keep this going. John, it's like you and I both said, this is existential for the Iranians. They can't, and the other thing is, they kept a lot of their powder dry. We haven't seen those hypersonic missiles.
No.
So we know they have them.
No, we haven't. And I'm seeing these slobs on YouTube like, they don't have hypersonic missiles. They would have used them by now. Hey, there was this one guy, one of our viewers, and shout out, I won't name him, I don't want to embarrass him, but one of our viewers emailed me and said, hey, there's this guy talking trash about you on his YouTube channel. So he sent me a link. So I'm watching the link and they're like, this guy, this is the day before the attack. This guy says that he has a source inside the White House that says we're going to attack Iran. He was wrong. What are we supposed to believe? That the White House just calls this disgraced former CIA guy to tell them their plans? No, number one, I'm not a fucking idiot.
That's not what you said either.
That's not what I said. So number one, I'm not an idiot. Number two, like any journalist or quasi-journalist based in Washington, I have access to people who have access to information. And third, anybody with two eyes who can read the media knows that there were plans to attack Iran.
Well, that's true. And look, the thing is, what you said was that your source told you that it would look like it was going to probably happen last Monday or Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay. So it happened Friday.
I was a couple of days off.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So like you're wrong. I don't think that makes you wrong. It's like, not to mention it's very well possible that your source was 100% correct.
Yeah.
And then something came up. I mean,
right.
D-Day didn't happen on this day that it was supposed to.
No, the weather was bad.
The weather didn't allow. Yeah,
that's right.
So, I mean, often I think, you know, 9/11 didn't happen on the day that it was supposed to happen. So there's all sorts of stuff like that where
that's right.
I mean, it's like, give me a break. It's like, you know, talk about like nitpicking, right? Like, well, you know,
seriously,
John thought it might happen at 11 in the morning, but actually it was like closer to noon. So what the fuck does he know?
Ridiculous.
No, ridiculous. You know, well, you know, people just like to talk shit. I can believe the mean shit that I read. I don't know, whatever. I'm not going to get into that. Not about me. Okay. All right. So let's talk about the economic aspect of this. I mean, oil futures are surging. Like I said, we are now at 72. Okay. Well, actually things have kind of flattened out, but analysts are saying that they could see oil. They could see if this is prolonged, oil hit $100 a barrel. The economy, this would really fuck up the global economy in a big way if this is sustained. Yeah. Strait of Hormuz is obviously, whether it's formally closed or not, doesn't matter. No one with a brain is sending their ships through there. Like you said, they won't be insured. They can get blown up. I mean, you know, you're sitting tight. Nothing's moving through there. So that's 20% of the oil supply. And I think people don't necessarily know. Like if you put a kink in 20% of the oil supply, you're not going to see a 20% spike in oil prices. You're going to see like a 50% spike in oil prices.
That's so, right.
You know, it's exponential that way.
It is indeed.